You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm bringing you two social media and branding experts to talk about salon branding. So if you feel like you're getting lost in the crowd, then this chat is going to help you with what not to do and how to win so you can kill it in the modern social and digital marketing arena. Thanks for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast today. Today joining me is Christy McKenzie from the Secret Salon Society and also Hayley Mears from Six Underground Media. Ladies, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So we've come together today for the three of us to talk about salon branding. But before we do that, do you want to both just give us a quick 2 minute, who are you, what do you do, and where do you come from? Hayley, do you want to go first?
Okay. My name's Hayley and I'm Six Underground Media. I'm an ex-hairdresser. So I spent 11 years on the floor working as a hairdresser, and now I do public relations, salon branding, marketing, and social media. So I try and combine, I guess, two different skill sets that I have, which is, a skill of journalism, writing, design, and aesthetics, with the understanding of how hairdressing works in an operational sense as well.
Awesome. And you do an awesome job of it. Christy, why don't you, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Christy, tell us a little bit about the Secret Salon Society and a bit about your background.
Yeah, sure. So I am also an ex-hairdresser. And for the last 2 years, I have been running Secret Salon Society, which predominantly supports salon owners in a number of different ways. We have a membership program. We also have events that we run, and we collaborate with many different industry leaders, such as both of you guys. And we also have the Selfie Station, which is our new baby, I guess, and that is, supporting salons to be able to get the most out of their social media, their pictures, and have them, you know, putting the best foot forward. So a few different hats, but the main goal is to support salons.
And a good goal that is. So let's talk a little bit about what do we see, salons doing in terms of salon branding. What are the mistakes that they're making? And I think I'd love to start with brand guidelines, like the actual look and the feel of a brand. Let's talk a little bit about that, because I think that's a brand identity, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think the biggest mistake is that they're making around creating an identity for themselves?
Would you like me to start with that one?
Go for it.
Yeah. And Hayley will have probably a completely different spin on this, but for me, I feel like the biggest mistake that salons make is inconsistency, and with their, in relation to their branding. So they might have a logo that looks one way, they have a website that looks another way, then their social media is a completely different way, and then their salon is completely different as well. So I feel like that's the biggest mistake that salons are making at the moment, is that nothing, you know, when they get it right, it's amazing, but it's quite rare in my experience that they actually do get it all consistent across the board.
Do you think that's because we're the creative type and we love shiny new interesting things and we just want to try a whole bunch of stuff?
Yeah, I think they get bored. So I think they'll have something that they're going with and then they get bored, so they change it, or they see someone else doing something and they think, hey, that's so cool, I'm going to try that. Or, you know, do that different font or a different colour that's maybe, you know, trending, it's only them that's bored. It's not necessarily the clients that are bored. It's just that they get bored. And I know that's because that was me, you know, for a few years. So.
Do you know, I remember being that the same. A new photo, a new trend would come out. I mean, the logo, thankfully, was the only thing that stayed the same. But we went all over the show. It was great fun.
Yeah.
Hayley, you actually help salons pull together brand guidelines, what are some of the things that they should be looking to do?
Actually, I agree with everything that Christy said about the consistency. And, you know, each platform needs its own voice, but that doesn't mean that they need to look any different. So I think a sense of brand needs to travel through every platform that you work on. And in order to be able to establish that consistency, it's really important to have brand guidelines in place. So what I mean by that is, you know, your list of fonts, your list of colours, and I guess a look, an editorial look. I think of social media platforms now like a website or a magazine. It needs to have, you know, a really consistent feel to it. So reading someone's social media page should be like picking up a magazine and kind of flicking through it and reading it. But so that's the consistency that I'm after.
Yeah, for sure. And you want to know if you're reading Fashion Quarterly or Clio, right? Quite clearly.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah. It's going to be a different message for a different audience.
Yeah.
So having that brand identity set up actually establishes the consistency across all of the platforms, your blog, your website, your Facebook, your Instagram, and any kind of email or e-blast that you do as well.
Yeah, for sure.
And probably keeping the voice the same as well. So, you know, because you see this happen all the time, the people that do it really well have the same kind of voice when they're talking, and that's something that we work really, we work on, you know, all the time. Whenever we're putting out something new, we make sure that that voice has the same kind of feel to it. You know, if you're always talking in the third person, for just as a really basic example, then you wouldn't straight away start talking, you know, in from yourself, like if it's, you know, your own voice. You want to keep it, the language and the voice, the same, in the same style. That's also really, really important, I think.
I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because I think one of the challenges that I come across with salon owners is that sometimes there's multiple people hopping on and posting the stuff. And so you can have the apprentice who might be in charge of posting some of the before and afters, and then a senior stylist and plus the owner. And we all write differently. Right?
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Yeah. So, okay, let's talk about what are some key things that our salon owners can do to create a clear brand guideline? Because it obviously needs to go deeper than just what they want to do and the look that they want, but the whole team needs to know, right?
Yeah, that's right. Hayley, you're probably best to answer this one, I think.
Well, I mean, I just yesterday I was working with two different salon owners. Like, one was beauty, one was hair. And it was like, tell me about your brand. Let's do a process of elimination. And we come up with a 4-page document that tells everything to the team about what that brand should look like. It has the list of colours. It has, you know, the types of images that really speak the voice of the brand, and all of the fonts. And that document is just that continual referral guide that you go back to. Does it look like it should be dropped within this document? If not, don't post it.
Yeah.
And I think that it's actually really simple. And it's great to have a digital copy, have a printout copy, so that everyone in the back end of the staff room kind of has that up on the board to see exactly what the brand should look like each time you're taking a picture for social media. You know, these are the rules and the guidelines.
And the language too, right? Like, we write like this. We don't say yeah or hey, and we do say, you know, I don't know, I think some consistency around the actual language. Don't use these words, do use these words. And we call this glamour waves, not a sweep. Or we do call it a sweep and we don't call it glamour waves or something.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that terminology is important.
Yes. For sure.
I think someone that gets the language and the personality really, really, they nail it is the fox and the hare. Are bound to come up in this conversation because we all know. But she, I mean, Mia just, she looks after all of her, you know, she's in charge of her account, I guess. And you can just tell the way that she posts and writes and uses emojis, and it's really her, you know, every post is very much her, and it's animated and young and fun, and you know, she does that really, really well. But then that style of wording wouldn't necessarily work for you know, another salon, I'm just going to think out loud, like the New Black Industries up in Newcastle, yeah. they, you know, they are sort of more of a lugs feel. So that style of talking, yeah, wouldn't work for a brand like theirs, if that makes yeah. sense.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the challenge then is, and I think that's why, as you were saying, Hayley, you know, actually getting a document that everybody's on board with is the way to go. And don't hide it under the desk. Put it on the wall in the back room.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, it has to be really obvious.
Yeah. Sorry, you've got a slight delay, Hayley, so sometimes we talk over you, and my apologies. Hey, let's talk a little bit about how does that, those brand guidelines, or how does branding actually come into the content that we're posting on socials? So what, now that we've kind of have a consistent mm-hmm. look and a consistent feel, and our fonts and colours are the same and the language is the same, what kind of stuff, how is that going to impact what we're posting? Hayley, I'll pass that to you first.
Okay, so I mean, the primary foundation of our business is to provide people with great social media content that has multiple purposes. One of them is to, you know, have fantastic in-salon shots. And I'll pass back to Christy to talk about, you know, the quality of those and how they're created in a second. That's one of the things we need to do, because that's your online portfolio. New clients seek out your skill set based on what you're publishing on socials. You also need to have your marketing messages in there, because at the end of the day, driving sales is what kind of keeps every business afloat. So marketing messages such as, you know, rebook to win, you know, hero products that we love, meet the team, all that kind of content. So we create very specifically branded tiles and images that tell those stories. Then we also go to sharing other people's content, because I feel that if you purely post about yourself, people get bored very quickly. So it's great to be able to show, you know, celebrity hair content that you saw on Vogue or Harper's. There needs to be a whole heap of different things happening, but it still needs to look consistent.
I'm really pleased you brought that up, actually, because I think that, you know, is one of the things that we can see often that's not working is nothing but just hair shots or just in salon shots. And we'll talk about the actual photo next, shall we? Because, but that mix, like you said, Hayley, that mix of just here, just inside the business, and not having any other
depth
to it. It gets
really boring really fast.
Totally.
See, I'm just going to jump in. I don't know if I agree with that. I'm going to be, I thought I would just jump in because I, and look, correct me if I'm wrong, and I probably am, but I feel like, As a person now, and I know that I'm still in the industry, but I don't have a salon anymore, and I am, you know, still actively looking for, I think, you know, I'm pretty sure I've found them, my local, but I still visit salons, and I am very much that client now where I want to see inside that salon, and I feel like social media pages should be more like a reality TV show. I feel like I want to know the staff, I want to know what they're up to, and I want to know everything that's going on. And I think that's why the Fox and the Hare do so well, is that you get a real sense of what it's like in that salon. And it seems fun, and I want to be a part of that. And when I'm looking for a salon, I want to see their work. I want to see the team. I want to see that everything is really consistent, and I know exactly what I'm going to get before I make that purchase, rather than too much of the editorial stuff. I feel like, I don't know, I don't, to be honest, I gloss over it as a client. I don't really read if there's an article or if there's something that's posted as more as an inspo shot from a magazine or a celebrity. That's beautiful, but I want to know that that salon can do that picture. They can actually create that work in their salon. And sometimes I think that salons do too much of that and not enough of their own stuff. And I won't go there because I'm like, well, that's, you know, anyone can post and share other people's stuff, but can they actually produce it themselves? So anyway, I'm just going to throw that one in there.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair comment. And I agree with everything that you say there. You need to, your social media should be the window inside the business. You do want to connect with the humans. You want to know if you're going to like them. You're going to be stuck in the chair for 2 hours with them. Who are these people? and can they do real work? But I, my humble opinion is when it's only that and there's nothing else, or I don't get a feel of the wider, then it's, yeah. I think if it's done really well, Christy, I think it's a great strategy. But if it's only backs of, you know, wall and wall of backs of heads.
No, I hate that.
There's no, there's no personality. I don't, so I think there's got to be some happy medium, right?
Yep. I think so.
No backs of heads. But I think a mixture and a good, whatever it is, it needs to be a thought about content strategy from the outside. Because I think sometimes what can happen is I don't know what to post. I don't know when to post it. Shit, I haven't posted anything for 5 days. I better just take a quick photo and I'll post that. I think that's when it goes pear-shaped.
Absolutely.
Yeah, cool. All right, well, let's talk about the actual photo now. Like, we know, we all agree that we should be taking photos of before and afters and great hair. How do we take a great photo? Because sometimes all things like bad lighting, terrible angles, not seeing people's faces. Let's talk about what are the huge mistakes that people are making and how can we overcome them simply?
Did you want me to start?
Yeah, jump in.
So what we teach salons to do is to obviously have a think about and having an area in their salon that they can use, like an open style photo booth. But it doesn't necessarily just have to be that one area. So, you know, having a media wall is great, but again, every photo shouldn't be just of the hair in front of the media wall. But it's got to be well lit as well. So, you know, if you've got the natural light through the day, my suggestion would be to utilize that natural light through the day and utilize some beautiful spots in your salon that have a nice background. The iPhone 7s, look, the iPhone 8s, I haven't even started playing with one of them yet, but it won't be far away. But you can, you know, using the portrait setting where you can focus on just the hair and then have the background kind of blurred out, that can look really good. And then for at night time, you can utilize, you know, the selfie station or, you know, a more well-lit area with your media wall, for example, to then capture good images in the evening. So that would be my suggestion, and just really standing up the client, making sure that they're positioned nicely. You know, if it's a back of head, that it's a perfect back of head. But if they're a gorgeous person, then, you know, definitely get a happy smiling face in there. And then, you know, another tip would be to have a little wardrobe of some just, you know, coats or something you can put, because there's nothing worse if you've got a gorgeous photo and they've got a red T-shirt on or something like that. So to have just like a, you know, a little wardrobe where it could be just some scarves or a jacket or like a, you know, poncho or something you can throw over, so it's just not going to take away from the hair and it's going to be more in line with your branding. That's a really fun thing to do as well.
I really like that idea. I hadn't thought of that.
It's not my idea. It's Mia, Fox in the Hair. That's what she does. So yeah, I'll give credit where credit's due with that one.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea because, you know, the red T-shirt or the hoodie in the background can just ruin a beautiful hairdo.
Unless that's, you know, your branding.
Indeed. Yeah. Okay. All right. That's good tips. Are there any no-nos? Do you either of you have any, you know, just definitely don't post like this?
One of the things that I've been teaching a lot in my social media classes is, like, this is going back to the same thing, consistency, is just to have like a little marker where the client stands and where the person taking the photograph stands. So the distance between the camera and your client is the same each time. Doesn't matter who's taking the photo. So if they're kind of separate distances apart, that's inconsistent. That's my no-no.
Yeah. That's a good one. I think that's really good.
And to play around with where the light is too, because we often get messages or emails where the client, the salon, is finding it hard to take a photo using the ring light. I mean, at the end of the day, all a ring light is just a, like, it's just a massive light.
You know, ring.
That's it. There's no magic. You know, it's not going to make bad hair look good. So, you know, in fact, it'll do the opposite if the hair's not, you know, 100%, it'll highlight any little, you know, any little issue. But you'll notice that to get a good photo, the client doesn't have to be standing right in front of the light. You can actually move the light to the side or quite a fair way away and then stand in front and take the photo. It does, you know, because it can, the phones can blow out the colour a bit. So often it's, you know, it's a combination of there being too much light and then the phone will blow out the colour. But also to remember that if the colour standing in front of you doesn't look exactly the same as what the photo is, that's okay, because so long as the photo is beautiful, it doesn't matter if it looks slightly different, you know. And in fact, I think we did a test on a client where we took, I think it was 6 different photos from and positioned the light in different spots. And there was 6 very, the colour looked completely different in all 6 photos, but they all looked beautiful. So, you know, that's fine.
That's right. The person scrolling doesn't know the real person looks different.
That's right. They're not all walking around, you know, comparing. It's only us doing that. So
yeah.
That's okay. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on using filters? In terms of aligning with your brand, any thoughts on that, Hayley or Christy?
Look, probably not on a hair shot. I think a hair shot should be like true to tone. And I think if you're having to filter out or adapt the colour of what you've created, perhaps you haven't got your lighting right, or, you know, the colour isn't as strong as it needs to be published anyway. That's my take on it. But in terms of any other types of images, there's some really cool new filter apps that actually do provide that level of consistency through the rest of the feed. And even if it's not a filter, there should be some sort of like accent of color that kind of ties everything together as though a like the appearance of the filter would anyway.
Yeah I do like that, particularly in Instagram, bringing a theme together over the whole feed, right?
Yeah. You know who uses filters really well is Kim Kardashian. So if you, like, because she's launched her new makeup, she uses filters really well. When the whole Paris robbery thing happened, she was using, like, quite a, you know, like more of a vintagey, I don't know how to describe it.
Obviously, it's very overexposed.
Yeah, it was a filter that was very... I guess the feel was family. She was obviously getting away, like she took herself out of the limelight and she just was obviously hiding away with her family for a while. And all the photos that came as a result from that, they almost looked like they were out of a photo album. It's very clever. And now obviously she's back and she's launching this makeup range. And now I've noticed the colours and the filters that she's using on her photos are very taupey. They've got definitely she's got a beautiful Instagram page. If you know, look at it, you'll see that difference. So I think that in that way, filters can be used really well. And, you know, like what Hayley said, as long as it's not, you know, over the actual hair, but if you're using filters for other stuff, I think, why not?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and if it's a way that you can have things consistent, you know, if you can take a photo or something that you've seen and you like and you want to post it, and then if you can put, you know, the same filter over those sorts of posts, then it can, you know, create that consistency and keep it in line with your branding, which is good.
For sure. Okay, before we talk about branding around all the platforms, you know, the socials, the website and in the salon, can we just hop over to a slightly different topic for a moment? But it did occur to me as we were chatting about photos, one of the challenges that I know is all the different team members in the salon taking photos. How do we manage getting them all on board? We've talked about language, but how do we get those photos up on the socials consistently? Like, that's a real, I know that that's a pain point. Any thoughts on managing team around photos, consistency, brand filter, and even just getting them off your team?
So this is hot off the press, and Yeah, I haven't even discussed this with anyone yet, really. But we're special. Hayley, you're going to love this. You're absolutely going to love this. We have an app that is launching very soon. Actually, I just sent an email off to the developer saying, hurry up, because it's overdue. So what this app's going to do is it's going to there'll be a countdown timer. So it'll be 3, 2, 1, and then it'll take the photo, GIF, still. So it'll be a photo, a GIF, a slow-mo, or a video, and it will apply, if you like, it will apply a watermark, so it can be a nice overlay, you know, just, you know, in the right branding. But then there'll be the option for the salon owner, if they're remote or if it's a social media management company, to be able to log in and view all the content that's being taken using that app. So there's not going to be, hopefully, that chasing for photos anymore, because the photos will be, as long as the photos are taken, the salon owner will have access to all of them from a remote location if they need to. So if they're at home, they can log in and see what's been taken for the day. And then for Hayley, she doesn't have to run around nagging for photos anymore. She can just log in and see everything.
So that is amazing.
Yeah, that's amazing. Really cool. Yes. So we'll talk, Hayley.
Business done live here on the podcast.
Sorry.
Deals are happening as we speak.
That's right. But I hope, that's a massive issue. And, you know, there's no point in investing, you know, in a selfie station and in an area in your shop if you're not then, one, taking photos and, two, posting them. So
For sure. Okay, that's really, really good. That's good news for salon owners. That certainly takes the pain away, even for you, Hayley. I mean, I remember when I was doing social media for salons, that always was the pain point, and there would be a disconnect, you know, between the beautiful, and I can see that for you, you know, between the beautiful work that you're doing and getting that nice mix. So yay for you, Christy.
You know what else as well? I think that a lot of salons don't post the same photo twice, which I think is really interesting. I think that if you create some albums on your phone that have, you know, one of them might be hero shots, and it could be just some photos that you've taken that are, they get a lot of, you know, a lot of reach, or there's a lot of engagement on that particular photo for whatever particular reason. To be able to save that in a hero shot, you can use that picture once a month if you like. You don't have to just post it once and then never again, you know, because like we all know that not everybody's going to see all your stuff all the time. So
yeah,
if it's that you're using photos, then I think that's fine, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that strategy too, especially if it's one that you've posted and it's had a lot of engagement and reach. Yeah. Do it again.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's have a chat now about opposing platforms, or all the places that we need to be in terms of salon branding, because I think one of the challenges that we talked about prior to recording this podcast is one of the things that we see a lot is the different look and feel of a business across the website, the social media, and then you walk into the salon and it's different again. Mm. So what are some of the no-nos that all of us have seen, and then let's help everybody overcome those. Let's start with you, Hayley. What would be the one thing that's your bugbear around consistency?
I mean, to me, it's just, I get, and this is just a typical, you know, type A personality of a hairdresser. I get bored so quickly that I need to see kind of like fresh ideas coming through all the time. So to me, like heads of blonde foils, I'm like, yeah, I'm just not that interested anymore. Like a lot of salons do really beautiful balayage, and I think there's still definitely a place for that, but there needs to be other skill sets thrown in there, because I think, you know, we have this incredible skill set that's so undervalued in our industry. Let's show like the variety of work that we can do. So it's just not having enough mix of content.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm a big advocate for not only you leaving your content on socials, but bringing it across to your website, because I think people can find you on the website and they'll be attracted to whatever it is that you're doing. And then they'll come and sanity check. They'll come and stalk you on the website. And if you come to the website and A, it doesn't match color or font or even logo, there's an inconsistency, and then there's almost sort of like a experience for the client that arrives there, or they arrive there and it's only functional. We are open. There's no visual of what that business can do. Then I think there needs to be some consistency across that content, social and website.
You know, a business
absolutely
really well is the Driver over in the States. They have got their consistency absolutely nailed. I've never been into a Driver salon, but I know exactly what I would get when I went in. I know even, you know, and they think of the everything down to the tiniest little detail, which I love. And I used to do that very well in my salon. So client retention and consistency for me was really, really important. But for the salon to think about all the little things, so it's not just website, social, you know, logo and all that stuff. It's down to, you know, I think everything. So over-personalization I'm really into at the moment. So, you know, having your logo or your tagline or something, you know, embroidered on your gowns, for example, or your the salon's, sorry, your aprons. Having, you know, a little coaster, like a little, you can get, you know, printed up little coasters that might have your tagline or something cute on your coaster. Even your front doormat should be something that they notice that they, that they're not going to get everywhere else. So like Drybar, for example, their front doormats in every single shop, and they've got over 100 salons in the States. Their front doormat, as you walk in, says nice shoes, and then there's a little hairdryer there. So thinking about all those little things, like it's just cool and it makes me want to go there. And, you know, you just hope that they obviously back it up with the skill and give you a good blow dry. But, yeah. You know, they have obviously some kind of alliance with Verve. That's obviously a massive expense. But, you know, you go into a dry bar and you can pay and pay for a bottle or a glass of Verve champagne. So that's their thing. And, you know, you've got to think about what your thing is. For me, in my salon, it was teaspoons, and people that know me know that I've got a thing for teaspoons.
Because, didn't know that.
Yeah, I do. Because I think that when do you ever have a nice teaspoon with a cup of tea? You just don't. So, you know, and if you can sit at a salon and you're having your beverage and there's a really beautiful like antique or something that's in alignment with your branding, a teaspoon, it's just going to be one of those little things that you'll just go, oh, that's really, that's lovely. You know, it's just a little nice thing. So to have a think about all those little things, so it's not just how everything's looking online or, you know, even on your signage, it's the little tiny things is why people will come back and remember you.
They're also the little story points, aren't they? Those are things that when they leave the salon that they're going, they go and have the glass of wine with their friend and their friend say, oh, your hair looks so beautiful. Those are the bit, those are the stories that come out from the visit, the teaspoon and the...
Yeah, and it just strengthens your brand as well. If you've got personalisation in your store, and it could be, you know, another idea would be, you know, to have a small range if it's in alignment with what you're doing of your own products. It's really easy to do that these days, and there's definitely a market for it, to have, you know, your own little range of products with your branding on it. And that could be something that just, I mean, the assumption is going to be, well, they've got their own product range, you know, that's amazing. It's just going to strengthen your brand if you are personalizing things a lot more.
Perception is everything, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I've got a little bugbear that I would love to share because I think about websites a lot. And that is a beautiful looking website, and you arrive at the website and there are some beautiful photos of an empty salon. Now, I always think, what does the client think when they see beautifully straightened chairs and an empty salon? There's no humans in it. Now, what happens when you go out to find a restaurant and you're walking down the street or the restaurant street and you're looking for somewhere to go and have your dinner? If you walk past a restaurant that's empty, you think, oh, well, what's wrong with it? You don't go there. Why do we as hairdressers go and put beautiful shots of our salon, empty salons, no happy smiling customers having beautiful hair done? Do you know who cares about that beautiful looking salon that's got the chairs exactly in a row and the beautiful photo shoot of the salon? Salon owners.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's probably an ego thing. Yeah, that's so funny. I've never thought about it like that. That's really funny.
But, you know, I think that that ultimately comes from sometimes we forget to hop in the mind of the customer and we're just sitting inside of our business and we're proud of our business, but we're in our own goldfish bowl. We need to hop out of the goldfish bowl and look at our business from the mind of the customer and look back at our business from the outside. And I think we forget to do that sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So no more empty salon shots, please. I think happy, looking, smiling customers, your ideal client, know who she is that you're trying to attract and have pictures of her having her hair done and looking beautiful and her hair is beautiful. And also, as back to that topic that we talked about, just photo shots versus editorial and other articles and things like that. You've got to know who your client is and what they're interested in and meet them where they're at, right?
Yep.
Because if they're the kind of if they're the kind of people that are reading editorial magazines, and that's who you identify yourself as a brand, then that makes good sense to deliver that kind of content. But if that's not your ideal client, then there's a mismatch there. And so people are attracted to what they're into. They want to see themselves.
Yeah. And also to look at who's doing it well, and you know, learn from them. So if there's some salons or just even other businesses, we talked about Kim K, for example, you know, look at what other people are doing really well and then see how you can translate that back into your own business, I think is a really good place to start too, and constantly check in with them. Another really good account to look at is Boost Juice. They it must be every few weeks they change their colour tone. And so when you scroll through their Instagram, it's this beautiful, colourful, it looks great. I'd recommend looking at them too. And if that's going to be in alignment with your branding, then, you know, just to learn from them and say, how can I do that in my business?
Actually, Hayley, you were talking about that before we hopped on the call, about changing things up every quarter or something. That's something that you do with a lot of your salons. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. I encourage all of the brands that we work with, or we perhaps even do it and don't even they probably don't even realize we've done it for them. It's like seasonally, the colors and the mix of content changes. And I kind of research and I have a look at what tones and like Pantone colors or whatever happens to be quite strong that season. And generally, I actually get my inspo from interior design, generally, when it comes to colour themes for season. Incorporate that. And with, because I do the Revlon Professional feed and Instagram, every month we have a different colour theme.
Yeah, that's quite cool.
If you actually scroll through the last year, you'll see 12 different colours each month.
Yeah, that's
cool. And it creates a great story. But yeah, in the week to week, you don't notice. It's not until you kind of take a look at it as a whole that you go, wow, that's very impactful.
Yeah.
Yep, very cool. All right, as we move towards wrapping up, I just want to talk about this one last word, because it doesn't matter if we're talking about socials, websites, branding or whatever, but there's this thing, right, called FOMO. And I think it's one of those things that we need to stop doing. And I heard a really good saying, I've heard it several times and I think about it often. It's like, don't compare someone else's paint job to your under the hood. So it's kind of like from the outside, everybody looks very beautiful and glamorous, but you don't know what's on the inside. And I think we really easily compare that shiny, glossy paint, i.e. social media feeds, to what's going on inside of our business. Mm-hmm. It can make us feel sad. Do either of you want to comment on that?
Yes. Look, I mean, I've worked with clients before, and this isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just kind of what drives them or what motivates them. And the constant conversations are, well, I saw so-and-so are doing this, so we have to do it. And it's like, no, you don't, because you know what? Your clientele is entirely different. Mm. Your geographic location is entirely different. It does look great and it works for them, but I don't feel that that's necessarily what you should be doing. So there's definite FOMO, and it doesn't translate necessarily to what your clients' needs are.
I agree. And I also think that so one of the questions I get asked a little bit is, you know, when a lot of salons are doing the same sort of thing, is that a bad thing? And I always think as hairdressers and salon owners, we're looking at what everybody else is doing in our industry, but that's not necessarily going to be what a client is looking at. So a client isn't going to be following all the salons that we're following. They're going to just be following probably a few of their local salons, really. It's like you can't see the forest because of the trees sometimes. And I think that we worry about what everybody else is doing and feel like we should be doing it, when really just our clients don't really care. They just want to see what we're up to. They're not following all the people that we're following. So they don't, it doesn't, yeah, I agree. But I also think that sometimes that's just us that worries about it when we don't really have to.
I'm going to pick up on that because I think you're right. I think we forget that our feed is actually unique to us. Your feed is actually very personal to you, and it's only you that sees that stuff. Because I often hear people say, oh, my God, haven't you seen this? It's everywhere. It's like, well, no, nobody else is seeing that unless you've been to that website or it's the stuff that you're interested in, right? So I think that's a really fair comment.
I always say to people, if you want to do something, then just do it. You know, there's no right or wrong. If you want to give something a go and if it makes no sense to anybody else but you, then that's okay. It's your business and to give it a go. If you want to give something a go because you've seen that everyone else is doing it, I also think that's okay because I'd rather do something and then it doesn't work or, you know, it makes no difference than not try. And, you know, I'd be asking the question is if you're constantly feeling like you're wanting to do what everyone else is doing, then maybe you need someone like Hayley that can give you a really clear direction because, you know, there'd be, yeah, you shouldn't have to be having that void filled all the time of keeping up with everybody, you know.
It's exhausting.
Yeah, it is. And you know, get more clear on what it is that you want and what your clients want to see. And sometimes it's hard because we are in every other salon's feeds all the time you lose track of what it is that you're trying to do for your business and what your vision was when you first started. So, you know, that's where someone like Hayley can come in and really help because she can say, okay, let's go back to the beginning and what is it you're actually trying to achieve? Not, oh, like everybody else, you know, so yeah. Even if it's a marketing idea, like we're kind of seeing the same sort of marketing ideas happening all over the place at the moment. But, you know, it doesn't mean that's a bad thing. It just is it, you know, you're doing it just because everyone else is, or you're doing it because you want to give it a go?
Well, I think what's a great thing to emulate, copy, give it a try when you see something is the delivery. How do they do it? What's the method? What's the method behind the madness? What are they trying to achieve? All you want to do is make sure that somewhere you find that sweet spot between your personal brand and the ideal client that you have. You can copy the delivery, how you do it, how often you do it, that you have a filter, don't have a filter, for example, you have a tagline, don't have a tagline, but make sure it stands with your brand and your brand values and that it speaks to your client. So it doesn't speak to somebody else's client who, you know, whose clients read Clio and your clients read Fashion Quarterly or whatever it is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Well, look, I think it's been some really good discussion and we've gone wide and deep on lots of topics. And I really appreciate giving your time today to the podcast and to the salon owners of the world. So thank you both, Christy and Hayley. And before we wrap up, why don't you both just remind people where they can find you and anything interesting that they think that, you know, they should be getting amongst.
Yeah, so for me, you know, everything's on my website. I do have my big salon owner group, so Secret Salon Owners Society, where you can sort of jump in and that's like a great support group for salon owners. If you're wanting help specifically with your pictures and your branding and all that stuff, we can help definitely with the lighting and we have, you know, the app releasing shortly, as well as a wallpaper range for salons as well. So at the moment we were just doing the sort of the pop-up media walls, but you can actually have them installed now onto an actual wall. So that's all going to be on our website shortly. But yeah, otherwise just have a good stalk of me and you can private message me as well. That's fine.
Stalking they will do. Thank you, Christy. Yeah. Hey, Hayley. Where can we stalk you?
Yes. Okay, so You can stalk me. Look, my handle on both social platforms is 6undergroundmedia, and website is 6underground.net.au. I guess one of the things I wanted just to recap, because I made some notes before we had this little chat, and it's kind of going back to Drybar. I listened to the most amazing podcast with the founder of Drybar. It was probably a year ago now, but I think everyone should have a listen to that, because it kind of explores everything that we talked about today and the consistency, entrepreneurship, and I just got really inspired by it. So you can listen to that on Nasty Gal Radio with Sophia Amoruso.
I shall put the link in the show notes. Nasty Gal.
Oh, I've just written that down. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Well, thank you both for sharing your time on the podcast, and we'll catch up with you soon.
No worries. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Larissa.
So there you have it. Heaps of tips and tricks for you to put into action back at the salon. But if managing your web or social media feels like a never-ending challenge, you have two awesome people to reach out to. And I also want to invite you to join the Salon Owners Collective Hub. It has plenty of resources you need to help you in the social media and salon website arena to help fast-track your business to success. So you can fully book out your salon and grow and retain a team of rock stars, earn more for you while leaving a little bit of space in your life to have a life. Join me at salonownerscollective.com and find the Salon Owners Collective Hub. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.